The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on other people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor at synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, 'Rabbi.' As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master. You have but one master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Here's a line that we can't hear often enough. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Stop and consider the reason why you even exist, the reason why God created you, is for deep, intimate union with the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To deepen your relationship with the God who created you is not only the reason that you were created, it's the reason why God gave you breath and the ability to wake up and live another day in the hopes that you'll use what he sends you this day to draw you closer to him. It's your perfection. It helps you become who you were created to be. But there's a paradox in growing close to God. Namely, the more we try to make it our own personal project, my own personal achievement, the more I think I can accomplish it by my own efforts, the further God flees from us. But the lower we stoop before him, the lower he stoops to pick us up, draw us close, and lift us up on high. It is the absolute greatest paradox, because it's so unlike anything else in life, in which if I want to get better at it, I work at it, right? If I want to get better at piano, I practice it and I work at it, and I can play a faster trill. Or if I want to do better in juggling, I bend over and pick up those clubs and keep working at it until I can catch a cleaner club. It's a skill. The essential draw that we have in our hearts towards paganism, which is reducing religion to a practice, is that we think that our relationship with God is another skill to acquire, but it is essentially a relationship, and that is why your Heavenly Father calls you to humility. Because we have to understand the essential meaning of the word humility, very greatly misunderstood. You know, Aristotle used to say that virtue lies in the middle, or virtu in medio stat. So Aristotle would have said that pride was a vice and humility was a vice, and you want to be somewhere in the middle. We don't believe that. We don't think that humility means thinking other people are better than yourselves. I've had people tell me one of the most common definitions of humility is that humility is the truth about yourself and the truth about God. And all that's true, okay? But a better definition of humility, the best I've ever come across, is that humility is self-forgetfulness. The humble soul, if you ever get the good fortune to meet a genuinely humble soul in this world, you'll be so charmed. Because they take such a genuine interest in you. And you walk away thinking, God, what a wonderful person. And you're wondering why. It's the grace of humility. The grace of humility is self-forgetfulness, and relationships flourish in self-forgetfulness. This is why God calls us to humility. Not because God feels any sort of competition from his creatures, as though God himself were proud, right, and his creatures threaten his greatness, but rather that your Heavenly Father created you to know you and to love you. And humility is the self-forgetfulness that makes that possible. You know, one of my favorite little ideas I try to remember comes from St. Francis de Sales. And he says, the holiest soul in the world is not the one who commits the least faults. It's the one who has the least confidence in himself and the most confidence in God. In other words, the humblest. In other words, the most self-forgetful. So here's the $64,000 question. How do you grow in humility? Well, first thing to understand is that it hurts. It hurts like nothing else in this world. There's nothing we're clinging to in our souls more tenaciously than we are to our own self-love. Okay, but the mechanics of growing in humility, I've heard it best described as prayerfully embracing life's diminishments. There's so many diminishments that we face in life. Like, for example, when you're contradicted. Prayerfully, and don't flare up your anger, prayerfully embrace your contradiction. When you're suspected and you didn't do anything wrong, prayerfully embrace this diminishment. When someone speaks about you behind your back, and you know it's almost never good when someone speaks about you behind your back, you prayerfully embrace it. When you're not thanked, when you're not consulted, when you're not approved, when you're not thought of, and you're not praised, prayerfully embrace it as a diminishment. When someone else is better looking, smarter, drives a nicer car, lives in a better neighborhood, goes to a better school, has a better golf swing, builds a better mousetrap, prayerfully embrace it as a diminishment. Our lives are filled with diminishments. God is constantly drawing us to ourselves, to himself. Illness is a diminishment. Old age is a diminishment. And ultimately, the greatest diminishment of all is the fact of our own mortality. Prayerfully embrace diminishments and we will grow in self-forgetfulness. Padre Pio once said that all the honors in the world combined are not worth one tiny ounce of genuine humility. Because from the point of view of death, all the honors in the world really don't mean anything. The only thing that matters at that moment is the closeness that you've gotten, the closest that you've had with the Lord. And to that, our Lord is constantly calling us. And that explains so much of what we face and the difficulties and diminishments that we face every day. A little something to remember here in the midst of all of our Lenten penances. Good as it is to strive with our will to embrace the Lord, understand first and foremost it's his project, not ours. Lent, just like humility, is not designed to end in sadness, but in joy. And that is why Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Amen.